things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. If we'd open our Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 1. And reading from verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And Romans 3 and verse 20. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we have read from your word this morning, and knowing that you are the word, therefore, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, and out of the abundance of your heart came forth your word. And to know you is to know your word. To know your word is to know you. Not in the words which the intellect can read and see with their eyes, but the word which is revealed from faith to faith. From your faith to the faith of your Son, to the faith which we receive. And so, Father, we recognize, Lord, that we are sinners saved by grace. But we were also, Father, in you before the foundations of the world, knowing that our soul came from you. That's who we are. And recognizing our sonship in thee. Help us then not to look at our own faith, Father, or the circumstances around us, Father. For you said all things shall work together for the good of those that love you and those who are thee called according to your purpose. But help us rather, Father, to tap into your fountain of wisdom, your eternal plan, and help us to find ourselves there and to abide in that which you have called us to. For we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning, we're going to continue with our message from last week, Righteousness and Unrighteousness. And this is part two, and actually, we're going to call this the faith of God. And we notice Paul says in Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness or the right wiseness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. Well, the just shall live by what faith? By our own faith? By our faith as a church? By our faith as a group? Or what faith is he talking about here? The just shall live by faith. Notice he said the right wiseness of God is revealed from faith to faith. And so we need to know from whose faith to whose faith. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Now last week we spoke on the subject of righteousness and unrighteousness, and we showed that the righteousness of God comes by faith, which is a revelation, and not by works. Now in that it is a revelation, then there is nothing that you can do about it. But that does not mean that there will not be a physical manifestation of that work of grace in your life. And this is where the church has fallen into error, especially the Baptists, because they believe so much in the grace of God that they've led it into a disgrace. And they become basically anything goes, because we said we have faith and we say we believe. But if we truly do believe, as James said, then our actions will manifest what our belief is. Now in Romans 4 and verse 1, Paul says, what shall we then say that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh hath found? Verse 1. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth not imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is a man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet, being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all of them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of Abraham that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. In other words, Paul is saying here, look, he's saying Abraham received the promise, the word, the faith, before he was even circumcised. So the circumcision had nothing to do with that faith, although it was recompense to that faith. It was basically, it was Abraham's way of saying, look, Lord, any excess flesh I will cut off. In other words, any thoughts of earthly things that are excess beyond just the necessary daily needs, I'm just going to cut them off. And, you know, the excess flesh is just going to be cut away because my whole focus in life is going to be upon thee. For they which were of the law, if they which were of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that it might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is the faith of Abraham. Now I'd like to stop here and just say this. He's talking about inheritance. If the inheritance, he says, is of them that are of the law, then faith is made in vain. Faith is made void, and the promise is made of none effect. If you can work yourself into inheritance, then faith is void. So he's saying here that it is faith that opens that door to your inheritance. It's faith that makes it available. It's faith that makes the promise come into effect. It's faith that brings forth the manifestation of that word. Therefore, it is of faith that I might be by grace, to the end that it might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And be not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving praise or giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. What's Paul talking about? Paul is saying Abraham didn't look at the circumstances around him when he considered the promise of God. He didn't look at the deadness in his own body. He didn't look at the deadness in his own wife's body. He didn't look at age. He didn't look at the factors of grayness and maybe baldness and the aging and all those sores, soreness in the body and the aches and pains. He didn't look at any of that. He looked simply at one thing. He tapped into God's mind. He tapped into God's mind. He said, this is what God said about me. And this is what's going to happen for me. Now, we do not say that it comes by revelation. Paul didn't say, Paul didn't say that this comes by revelations, plural. He said, by revelation, faith, singular. He said it is by faith, revelation, singular. And here is, there is only one faith that matters two bits with God. And it's not your faith. And it's not my faith. And it's not William Branham's faith. It's God's faith. The revelation of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul tells us there's only one Lord and one faith, and that faith is the faith of that one Lord. It is God's faith, period. Now, he did not say it is faith in that one Lord, but there is only one faith, period. Not your faith in that one Lord, but the faith of that one Lord. From Be Not Afraid, Brother Branham said, there's only one faith, and that's the faith of God. That's right, God's faith. Your human faith don't go very far. But God's faith in you makes you love everybody, makes me love everybody. That's right. That's what God's faith does to you. It makes you have the same feeling that Jesus did because the Spirit of Christ is in you. Look, we are told in Scripture that God framed the world by faith. In Hebrews 11 and verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God Himself had faith in His own Word. And that is the faith that we're looking at this morning. Not your faith in God. Not your ability to believe that He is. Because the devil believes that God is and he trembles. But we're looking at God's faith. His faith. There is one faith, and that is God's faith. And there's only one faith that God is interested in, and that's His faith. His faith in His Word. And if you have that faith, then you won't be distracted by any circumstances or anything that is contrary to that faith. Look, Brother Branham said, God was waiting on Jesus to make up His mind in Gethsemane. The greatest victory Jesus had wasn't the cross. It wasn't Calvary. It was in Gethsemane. When He said, Father, my will is that you take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And when Jesus tapped into God's great revelation, God's faith, when Jesus reckoned that for this purpose I was sent into this world as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And when Jesus recognized His position in God and determined that as He tapped into the mind of God, and He determined that what God's will for Him would be, that's what it would be for Him. That's when Brother Brown said He had the greatest victory. That was His great victory. A few weeks ago, in the Masterpiece series, I preached a message called The Faith of Jesus from Gethsemane to the Cross. And if you recall that message, you'll know what I'm talking about this morning. When Jesus finally tapped into God's faith, it is then that He had the victory to take Him through those physical sufferings and the abuse to the body that only Satan could inflict as he did. And it took Him all the way through those sufferings and trials of the flesh. And it took Him to the cross. And not only took Him through that Roman system and that Roman punishment and that infliction upon affliction upon affliction, but it also raised Him from the dead. And it was not His faith in God that did this. But Jesus tapped into His Father's faith, into His Father's revelation. When He recognized the plan of God was for Him to be that Lamb slain from the foundations of the world, then nothing could deter Him from fulfilling all that God had for Him to do. We look too much upon our circumstances. We look too much upon whether or not things are going the way we want them to go. And we don't look to the promise that God said, all things shall work together for the good of those that are thee called, those that love him, and those that are thee called according to his purpose. When he recognized the plan of God, that he was that lamb, slain before the foundations of the world, he said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. From the super sense, Brother Branham said, it was that sixth sense that raised Jesus from the dead after that he had laid in the ground, because he believed the word of God. He said, destroy this body and I'll raise it up on the third day. For David said, I'll not leave my Holy One to see corruption, neither shall I leave his soul in hell. It was that super sense, casting down the reasonings of these senses, believe the super sense, the sense of faith that Jesus Christ gives. By that same sense, God spoke when there was nothing. What is that sense? That super sense is God. The faith of God in you. The part of God that comes into you that gives you that super sense. By that same super sense, God framed the world together with things which was not and that did not appear. He spoke his word and believed his word. And the world shook into existence. Glory to God. Think about that. Had God not had faith in his own word, the worlds wouldn't be here. We're talking about going back to the source itself. Entering into the very source of eternal existence, of eternal life. Into the very mind and the depths of the mind of God. That's what faith is. And we can tap into that faith of God and live a life that is the life of that, the life of that, live a life that God wants us to live. In fact, that is the only way that we can live a victorious life in Christ, is to live by his faith. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I'm living. Yet it's not I that am living, but Christ living in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and he gave himself for me. Notice it is not our faith in which we live by, but the same faith that God, that the Son of God had. And where did the Son of God get his faith from? He said, the Son can do nothing but what the Father shows me, what the Father reveals me. Well, that's what faith is. It's a revelation. So Jesus received the faith of God, and that's what he lived by. And that's what we live by. He got it from God his Father. Brother Bram said in his sermon, Works as Faith Express, he said, if you can't believe it, it just won't happen. Now, I can't make you believe, neither can you make your own self believe. God's got to give it to you. It's a gift of God to believe. Not your faith, God's faith. Your intellectual faith might believe it fine, but unless the faith of God is down in your heart, see, your intellectual faith can accept it, do that, and just keep believing it with all your heart until God reveals it to you. So therefore, if you have faith of God, then your faith will only say what God has already said before the foundations of the world about you. The testimony, your testimony, can only be what God has said about you. And you receive it and believe it and then manifest it because you've tapped into the very mind of God. His faith. The faith of God. Just because you do not believe what God said doesn't stop what God said from coming to pass. So your faith is nothing. It is only what you believe. What God has declared will come to pass and nothing will stop it. Paul said in Romans 3 and 3, For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? I don't think so. So the problem we have today, as in all days, has been that men are taught a creed. They're taught a dogma. They're taught doctrines. And they think that those doctrines, dogma, creeds that they believe in is their faith. And that's as far as their faith goes in the creed of their church, the dogma of their church. From door to the heart, Brother Branham said, oh, there's just a lot of those doors. Let's find the door of faith over here on the side. Now, I have faith, but don't you go fooling with my faith. There's only one faith, and that's the faith of God. That's right. The door's all closed up because that you don't want to fool around that door or let Jesus around there, because as soon as he stands in that door, he will scream out, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And your creeds will bar that door. But he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You'll come to church and watch the signs and wonders of God be performed. You won't pay attention to that because the creed has locked that door of faith in you and made you to think that that is your faith, or that is a faith. And there is only one faith, and that's the faith of God. And the only one that can bring that faith of God is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that comes into your heart. We should add that to the benefits of the Son of God. Because the only way possible that we could tap into the faith of God, to have the faith of God, is through our knowledge of the Son of God. He's knocked at your heart through signs and wonders and miracles, but you keep that all penned up. I don't want nothing to do with that. Oh, if he could only stand and you'd open up that door, it'd be 2 minutes till you believed every word that the Bible wrote and say amen to every bit of it. If you just open up that door and let Jesus come in, give you faith that he gives, or that he has to give to you. You've took that faith that some creed has given you, and you lock the doors upon Christ's faith. When you take Christ's faith, then you can recognize him. Why do you think I go around the world as I do? Because I believe with all my heart I'm a son of God. And you're sons of God and daughters of God. And the world has gotten the people so bogged down by little dogmas and creeds and sects and isms and groupthink and all this other garbage, until they have no clue that God himself came down to give us his faith, to help us to tap in to understand that we are sons of God. Brother Ben Caleb wrote to me last week, and he said he was visiting some brothers in Western Uganda that had attended our meetings last year. And I don't say this about myself, but I'm going to say it about the revelation. They said, that's the only white man we've ever seen that has faith to take on a storm. Now let me tell you something. Why did I have faith to take on that storm? Because I know that I'm a son of God. And Jesus said, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, I'll do it. It's not me taking on the storm. It's God fulfilling his word. If you truly believed that you are a son and daughter of God, a son of the King, you'd act like the son of a king. You conduct your life like the son of a king. Brother Branham said, if you only understood that deity dwells in you, if Christ be in you, he said, you could speak worlds into existence. You could speak squirrels and they'd appear. We live so below our calling and our election. Why? I believe it's because we're social animals. I don't mean to say animals as though to degrade us by any means, but the fact is that because we are so socially inclined, that we don't truly recognize who we are. Every place you go, people do what the church does. It's groupthink. It's you know, if the group goes off the word, then they all go off the word together. Oh, you might find one or two speaking out. Brother Branham said they just get enough. He said the people only get the pastor spirit. The pastor, he said, lifts his cup of coffee and puts his little pinky up in the air and drinks it like that. The people in the church do the same thing. He said if the pastor jerks his head kind of like this when he's talking, he's watching people in the church, they jerk their head. You know, if the pastor says, "Lord bless you, my brother," the people in the church say, "Lord bless you, my brother." And there's no individuality. Why? Because they're bound by one another's spirit instead of the Holy Spirit. That is the reason why man has drifted off into his own isms and denominational thinking. Paul told us that is the reason why man has drifted away from God's faith and has substituted his own reasonings for faith. In Romans 10 and verse 3, Paul says, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness, not having submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, Say not in thine own heart, Who shall ascend up into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is near thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Well, the Baptist confesses that Jesus was raised from the dead. And yet Jesus said, "If you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father." And the word confess is from the word homologio, and it means to say the same thing. So if we can say that Jesus indeed was the Son of God, not God the Son, then he will say to his Father, "These are your sons, Father, as I am your son." Brother Bram said in a sermon, "Seed of Discrepancy, and we know that Jesus was the Word," 1 John 1:1. "I said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Then the Word is a seed. Then the seed become flesh and dwelt among us. If Judas was the seed of the enemy and the discrepancy, it also become flesh and dwelt among us in the person of Judas Iscariot. He never had real faith. He had what he thought was faith. And there's such a thing as having faith and a make-believe faith. And a genuine faith of God will believe in God, and God is the Word. It'll never add nothing to it. The Bible says that if we add one word or take one word away, our part will be taken from the book of life." Revelation 22:18, the last closing chapter. So what are we looking at is God's faith, period. Either it was in his mind to begin with, or it wasn't in his mind. And if it wasn't in his mind, it isn't faith. And it isn't revealed to us by God. Then if it wasn't in his mind to begin with, then it isn't real. It isn't real. For those things that can be seen are not what is real. But those things which cannot be seen, that is what is actually reality. Hebrews 11:1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." What faith are we talking about? Your faith? "Oh, I hope for a Cadillac. I hope for a Cadillac. I hope for a Cadillac. Can't see it. I hope for a Cadillac." No. What is faith? It's the revelation of God. It's His revelation. Now, faith, God's revelation, is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance. Faith is the substance. That word is hypostasis. Faith is a substance. What substance? Well, let's look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Hebrews 1, verse 3 tells us that Jesus himself was the expressed image of his Father. Notice, who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person, and upholdeth all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Notice, he is the expressed image of his person. That Greek word for person is hypostasis. It's the same word in Hebrews 11 that says faith is the substance. So what substance is faith? It's the person. Hallelujah. You are what you think. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. As man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And as God thought before the foundations of the world, that's what he is. He is the Word. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. And in verse 3 we read, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So God had faith in his own word to bring about those things which were not into existence. And that is what Abraham tapped into, and that is why his testimony is, as we read in Hebrews, or in Romans 4. We have that Abraham, that's why he's called the father of faith. Romans 4:17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. And verse 18, who against hope he believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Abraham understood the revelation of God that he would have a son. And against hope, he believed in hope. He believed in those things which are not seen. God gave him that revelation at 75 years old, and he held to that revelation for 25 years. And then when he finally had that child, he took him up because God told him to take him up and sacrifice, and he said, I and the lad are going up to do sacrifice, but we shall return. He knew, as Job said, though he slay me, yet in my flesh I shall see him. From the supersense, Brother Ram said, and the supersense is the Holy Spirit, the faith of God that dwells in you. And if you let the five senses be yielded into that sixth sense, it'll guide you and bring all the other five senses under the control of that supersense. For it's so far above the natural sense as the spiritual man is above the natural. It's as far as high as the heavens is above the natural man and his five senses. It makes you believe things that you cannot see. It makes you act where you do not think the five senses would ever think about it. The devil can get into those five senses and lie to you, but he cannot touch that super sense. That's far beyond his reach. That comes from God. It's called faith. Faith is that great thing. How we are so guided by these five measly senses that we have. From the Queen of Sheba, Brother Branham said, always remember this, church. God's words are true. I believe the right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. If you can look at it in the right way, but remember, here's my standard in life. And I've tried to do this. The first thing, I want to find out whether it's the will of God or not. Then I know it's God's will. The next thing is my objective to it and my motive on doing it. Then if it's the will of God and my objective is right and my motive is right, I have faith that it'll be done. Because first, it's the will of God and I have, and my objective is to glorify him, and my motive is to give him all the glory. See? So there's no selfish motives about it. If you have a selfish motive, it won't work. If your objective is to make money for yourself or something like, why, you'll never succeed. And then try to do something outside of the will of the Lord, then it won't work to begin with. So there is a genuine faith. But you must come into that real channel of God to have that genuine faith. There's human faith. Then there's faith of God. And you must have a godly faith to believe. Now then, to have godly faith, you must have the mind of Christ in you. then that's how God projects to you visions, revelations, and all these things comes by the mind of Christ being in you. You get it? Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. I like that. Because he's talking about faith, the faith of God in you. The mind of God in you is when God projects his own mind by vision or by revelation into your mind. From wisdom versus faith, Brother Bram said, now we find that these two factions or sources is one is wisdom and the other one is faith. And they versed one another since creation in the Garden of Eden. Now there's children on both sides. Now, what is the wisdom that we're talking about? Something that will not agree that all this word is the truth. It's something that will take away from the truth, expressing itself as a higher knowledge, more wisdom. And if wisdom of that sort comes from Satan, his children live by that wisdom. And if the faith of God came through God, and God is the Word, God's children lives on that faith. The Bible said that the just shall live by wisdom. The congregation says no. Faith? The just shall live by faith. Not what he can learn, but what he can believe. You see, my objective in going where I go is not so that I can just teach so that they can just learn and have the same doctrine so we have more people in our fellowship. You know, as far as around the world, we have more fellowship and we have, you know, a bigger clique. It's so that they can actually enter into their sonship. We live so below our privileges as sons and daughters of God. From door to the heart, Brother Bram said, there is another little door just around the corner. It's the door of faith. Oh, there's many of them. Well, let's talk of faith just a moment. Now, I'll let you in. I'll let you in, Jesus. But I've got my own faith. Well, he can't do much for you. If you got your own faith, I don't want no faith. I want his faith. My faith is no good. The faith of God is what we need. God's faith in us. My faith is no good. Your faith is no good. It takes Christ to come in and stand in that door of faith and be Lord. Lord over your faith. When you read in the Bible, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, your faith will say, that's impossible. But his faith will say, amen, I am. If the critic says the days of miracles is past, the faith of God will say, he doesn't know what he's talking about. If the critic says Jesus doesn't heal, the Holy Spirit standing in the door of your faith will say, I'm the Lord that healeth all thy diseases. If just makes such a difference to let him have that door of faith. You know, the scripture he was reading a while ago said that you are naked and you are miserable and you are poor and wretched and blind and don't know it. That's the condition that the church will come to. They don't have the faith of God. What have they got? Nothing. Nothing. But they think they do. From why we're not a denomination, Brother Bram said, and then when you let your faith run out to its end, till you begin to believe, then let your subconscious go to acting. Then the faith of God will back it up. Then you go right on out. See? Because your faith won't do too much. Your subconscious has to move in the direction that your faith is moving. And then God's faith moves in behind that and confirms it all. See? But if it's your faith, oh yes, I got it right now. And even your subconscious rolling back here saying, I wonder if it'll work on me. He won't do it then. So Brother Branham is saying, if your mental faith is backed up by God's faith in the subconscious, if your mental faith says, I know the word is right, but there's nothing in the subconscious, no Holy Spirit in there, to say, not only do I know it here, but there's something in me here that says it's true. It cannot fail. He said, then you've got it. But if it's only here, he said, it'll never work. You got to have that other. From here, you hear me said, the world's looking tonight for someone to display the real, genuine faith of God. No matter what people say, what circumstances is in, how I feel, what it looks like, how I heard the call of God, He's my Father, and I stand to accept His word regardless. May God help us tonight to see that as we bow our heads just for a moment. You know, Brother Branham explained about how the girl didn't have enough faith to be healed. And he said there was a little bracelet that was on the cord, the chain to the light. And Brother Branham said, if I can get that chain to go in that direction, he said, you don't have enough faith for your healing. But he said, if I can get you to believe me that I have faith for your healing. You see, the angel said, if you can get the people to believe you. So Brother Branham stood there, and he made that chain go around this way. Then he made that chain go around that way, and Brother Branham explained that. He said, that wasn't my faith, that was God's faith. The faith of God. And if you have the faith of God, say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart. It'll move. Say to this pole over there, let there be a squirrel on it. And don't doubt in your heart. And watch creation take place. Because by the word of God, the heavens that were of old came into existence. The world was framed by the word of God. From law of grace, Brother Ram said, and we have faith in our heart, the faith of God in our heart, and we can see clear. It becomes a faith, and then we speak it. And it comes into existence, the same thing, because the mind of Christ is in the man. That's what makes healing and so forth. When you get that perfect revelation, just what you're doing, then you know how to walk. From the inner man, Brother Branham said, like that light. You take one wire off, the negative or positive, it certainly won't work. That's all. It's got to have the ground. It's got to be grounded good. And it's got to have the right type of wire and everything, and it'll pack the current. That's all it needs. Well, if we're really grounded in Christ, you see, with the Holy Ghost in us, and rooted and grounded in the faith of God, it'll certainly pack the light of the gospel to the world. That's right. It'll heal the sick. It'll do works. Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith, God's faith, to our faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith, not their faith, but by his faith. Now, who are these just ones that shall live by faith? I would think the same one who told us that the just shall live by faith should be the same one to tell us who they are. And in Romans 8:28, Paul says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, the only way that you could ever conform to the image of the Son is if you have the same attributes and characteristics in you. And in order to have that, you would have to have the same seed life in you as his Son did. Because the law of reproduction that God set forth in Genesis 1:11 tells us that every seed shall bring forth after its own kind. Now, in verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. It's already a done deal. It's finished. What shall we then say of these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is it that shall condemn? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Shall distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Now Paul said, it is God that justifies. And who does he justify? Those that he foreknew. Those that were in his thinking before the foundations of the world. So if you can tap into what God thought of you, what God reckoned of you, that brings your justification. He also said we are justified by faith. So God uses his faith to justify us. Then unless we have the faith of God, we are not yet justified. Galatians 3:24. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And remember, we read Brother Branham said that it is the revelation of Jesus Christ, it is the faith of Jesus that does it. Let me just find that, if I could. He says, well, and there's only one faith, and that's the faith of God. And the only one that can bring that faith of God is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that comes into your heart. You see, until you really recognize who Jesus was, that he was the Son of God, how are you going to know your own position as a son? It's impossible. The Catholic Church sings kumbaya, kumbaya. They sing, we are one in the family. We are one in the Lord. We're one in the Spirit. You know, we're one. They don't have a clue what they're talking about, what that song means. We are the family of God. We are sons and daughters of God. And it's by recognizing that Jesus, the Son of God, that he laid aside his own will, laid aside his own actions, his own speech. And he recognized only the faith of God, what God said about him. And he entered into what God said about him. And that brought him victory from Gethsemane to the cross. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith, by God's faith, by what God said about you. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, the only way that you could ever be conformed to the image of his Son, as I said before, is that you have the identifiable characteristics, you have the DNA, you have the Holy Spirit in you, the same Spirit. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. So moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also, past tense, glorified. So Paul said, it is God that justifies. And who does he justify? Those that he foreknew. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How many people, even following the message, don't have that peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ? It comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. It comes through understanding the relationship that God had with his Son, that he wants to have that same relationship with you. Romans 3:28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So we see it is God that justifies.